I am recording.
Welcome it. Everybody, listen. Hot Ape Summer.
Listen up.
We're here. Knuckle Deep. Episode 164 of Bat and Spider starts now.
Not Joseph Stalin.
Kennedy. No amount of you lining up these two tracks is going to save that. Now, Dale, before you rudely interrupted me by starting the podcast, why does CM Punk have the Pepsi logo tattooed on his shoulder?
I've asked that. I know the answer, but I forget the answer. I think he's just like being cool.
Contrarian? Is it like, oh, everyone likes Coca-Cola, so I'm a Pepsi guy? Is that
right?
I'm CM Punk.
I think it's like, like Joseph Stalin or Gandhi.
Oh, I'm the
cult of. They still got it, man. They still got it. I saw them on Stern a few years ago. They still got it. It's living color. Come on.
I hope everybody's ready for this episode of Hot Ape Summer. We watched the movie APE, directed by Paul Leader. Some friends of the show watched this in the Discord drive-in. Foxtrot Bebop says, strange joint US/South Korean ape kaiju King Kong sort of spoof. LOL, the monkey-suited flip-off gif originates from here. Oh, valuable came from here.
That's the monkey flipping off the camera. It almost seemed like it was like put in 50 years later.
We're going to get into that, Chuck, and we're going to get into not seeing that part because I was like paying attention to anything else in the room. Right around the corner here on Hot Ape Summer. What else do we have to talk about, Chuck? Before we get into this movie, Ape 3D.
Nobody watched it in 3D, right? I think I found a copy of the red and blue kind, but I didn't watch, because I was like, I'm not going to put myself, it's too painful. I remember last time we did that, it was, you know, it takes a lot of work. You got to sit in the right spot in the room and.
Yeah. You never forget your first time either.
Yeah. And it just hurts.
You know, what's the point?
It hurts. So yeah, we didn't, whatever. But yeah, what are we going to talk about? I did watch a couple movies, Dale.
Oh, please, Chuck, get into it.
I don't know which one I want to talk about. I'll tell you which two movies I watched. Both of these movies are movies I never saw before. Okay.
Big night.
So they're like long checking off my, you know, list. All right. Both from the 90s. Yeah. So they've been on the list for a long time. All right. First one I watched Idle Hands, directed by a close personal friend of mine, Rodman Flender. So I can't even, I can't really talk about that.
That's true.
Just kidding. It sounds like he got that job
Rodman, if you're listening, I'm not going to talk smack about
this. I watched all the special features and it seems like he got that job like 3 weeks before they started shooting. Like there was another director on it and they bailed for whatever reason. And they're like, hey, can you pick up the slack? And he's like, hell yeah. So it sounded like it was a labor of love, clearly, because he could tell the movie's made by someone who loves horror movies. But yeah, it sounds like it was a hit the ground running situation.
Okay.
And the other movie I saw, Hudson Hawk, Dale.
Whoa, Hudson Hawk. I've only seen the opening credits to that movie, but I've never seen it.
The weird Da Vinci, the Leonardo da Vinci opening.
Yeah. Super, it's very weird, right? Artsy.
Mm-hmm. And the guy that's playing Da Vinci looks like they put weird makeup on him, but it's like he was just a regular guy, like
normal men.
Whatever. But that was a crazy experience, that movie. I don't think anything could have prepared me for that. I don't think I liked it. But I'm glad I watched it.
I just, you know, you sit, it's a Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, whatever. Oh, I've been meaning to get to this movie for 30 years.
Oh, well,
like what?
That was preceded Hudson by Hawks an hour of me trying to pick a movie to watch. A literal hour.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. I was like, it's my night. Melissa went to bed. I'm going to treat myself to a movie. And I went down the rabbit hole finding the perfect, you know, the feeling. I'm trying to match the vibe in my mind, you know, that I want.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was like, we're kind of riding high off Idle Hands. Like I was like, oh, I'll stick in the 90s. I want to be entertained. I want to laugh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Somehow I landed on Hudson Hawk. Probably because I just never seen it before. I remember the ad campaign from when I was a kid. I remember there was an NES game for it. And I remember it was like a huge failure. Like everyone made fun of it for whatever reason. And finally watching it, I learned a lot, Dale. I learned that it was made by the duo who made Heathers, which I know you're not a fan of Heathers, but I like Heathers. And that I was like, oh, because as you watch it, some of the jokes in there, it's like, oh yeah, I can definitely feel that Heathers feeling. Some of the quips that are in there. There's one quip in there that should be deleted for all time.
Like it's like a terrible quip.
It should be illegal now. It's like an edgelord like in a party.
Oh, man.
He's got this in his back pocket, the worst thing he can say in polite company. And he just says it and it just lands like a stone. It's just like silence. And that's in the middle of that movie. But so I had no idea. The vibe of this movie, I couldn't believe it. It's like a Bing Crosby movie, this movie. It's like a Rat Pack movie.
Wow.
Bruce Willis plays the greatest safecracker in the world. He gets out of prison and the CIA and a rich white man and wife who want to take over the world, trick him into robbing different safes around the world to collect three crystals that Leonardo da Vinci hid in artworks that he made so that they can turn lead into gold. And they can crash the world's markets by making gold worthless. That's the plan anyway. But like Bruno, his best buddy's Danny Aiello, and everything comes down to
wow.
like every time they go to crack a safe, he's like, oh, how much time are we going to need? 3 minutes, 11 seconds. And Bruno will like name like an old pop standard song with that running time, and him and Danny will sing the song as they like break into the museum and crack the safe.
Oh yeah.
That's how they time it, because he doesn't believe in watches, right?
Right.
And it's slapstick, but with like late 80s, early 90s sensibility. So it's a little edgy, some of the quips, but it's very like they're really going for that like super fast 50s kind of goofball slapstick comedy, which is something I did not expect at all. Mm. I was expecting like cool guy, Bruce Willis. He's like a great cat burglar and he just gets mixed up in some crazy thing. But the tone was just like insane. And the people who steal the movie outright are the Mayflowers, they're the evil couple. It's played by Sandra Bernhardt, whom I love. And
oh, beautiful.
Richard E. Grant. He's from With Nail and I. He's incredible. God rest his soul. He's not with us anymore. But these two, every scene they're in, they never run out of gears, as they say, Dale. These two. Yeah. Just off the wall. Good. Off the wall performances.
Wow.
James Coburn plays this like CIA guy, and he's got all these CIA people and they all have code names named after candy bars. David Caruso's in it.
Wow.
Very young David Caruso. He has like zero lines. His whole thing, he's one of the CIA spooks and he just like is always in a different disguise. And that's like the big joke. Every time you see him, he's dressed as a lady or dressed as a a statue. I don't know. It's weird. I can see why, you know, working stiffs, you know, when they went to the movies that weekend in 1991, and they thought they were getting another Die Hard, and they show up and they get this, you know, slapstick art project.
Yeah.
I can see how the crowd wasn't with them on it, you know.
The trailer probably set up an entirely different movie.
Yeah.
Is this a movie where Bruce sings, "Would you like to swing on a star?"
Yes. Yes.
I remember Bruce singing that.
Yeah. Actually,
or would you rather be a fish?
I liked that. I loved all the singing part. I was surprised. Like, I'm not usually into that stuff, but every time they did the singing while they were, you know, breaking in somewhere, I loved it.
Wow.
Yeah. So there we are.
Wow.
Hudson Hawk.
I can remember. That was Hudson Hawk. I can remember late 90s renting Idle Hands. Did I go to the movie to see Idle Hands? And I was not expecting what I saw on that screen. It was, I think, a lot. It was, I think, to my impression before I saw Idle Hands it was more comedy than it was scary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it was scary. I mean, it was like, at least graphically, a horror movie through and through.
No, the horror. Right? Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. They a lot of great practical effects. I mean, this is like, when did this come out? 99. So it was like there were like one or two CGI shots, but you could tell that they wanted to keep it practical. Cause there was a lot of gross out stuff, like severed heads and things. Like that one character's head is cut off for half the movie and he's walking around.
Yeah.
His hands and stuff. And Seth Green has that broken bottle stuck out of his head the whole movie.
Oh yeah. It's like a super culty movie now.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only, the big unfortunate thing is just all the like the homophobia slurs in it, you know, that don't age well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's just like, ugh,
I don't remember.
It sucks.
Yeah. I just remember I don't remember any of that from the movie. I just remember like being taken aback by, it wasn't the movie that I was expecting it was going to be.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing. That's all I remember from the movie.
Tom DeLonge, sorry. You see the side of Tom DeLonge's face for like 0.3 seconds. He plays a drive-through employee. I was like, hey, that's Tom DeLonge. What else? Oh, Vivica Fox is in it. She's great in it, actually. I wanted more of her. And Jessica Alba. I think it's like her first movie she's in it, which I was like, I had no idea she was in this movie. That was weird. Her character is completely unbelievable. It's a very male
Jessica Alba was
centric movie.
Jessica Alba was, to be fair, in Camp Nowhere in 1993.
Wow. I'm 6 years Camp Nowhere before. Head, so. Holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Camp Nowhere Head. The most horrifying thing for me was it.
Are you suggesting we do Camp Nowhere for the Ko-fi subscribers?
Dale, I would do Camp Nowhere. I would do that in a heartbeat. I remember loving that movie, honestly.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. I remember watching it several times. I was into it. What was I going to say about Idle Hands? Oh, the scariest thing about Idle Hands is the fashion of 1999, because it just me back and it was just painful. The amount of wasted material they used on teen boys' jeans back then, just everyone wearing curtains on their waists.
Right.
And it just hurt. It's just like, oh God, why? Gosh. Why did we have to do that?
Yeah.
Like one's ever going to look back on that fondly. Like, I don't think it's ever going to come around. Like the kids, I mean, the kids are wearing baggy stuff now, like 90s stuff, but it's not like that. It's not like it was.
It'll never be to that extreme again. And I can remember being envious. I remember just being envious of those kind of people just because they had an identity. Like they had a look,
and everybody
who wore the look looked like they belonged in the look.
Yeah.
But I constantly struggled with, I'm like, I can't, I could never wear that because I don't have the look. I could never pull it off.
Yeah, me too. Like
that was always,
I wore the baggy pants, but it was always like a half measure. Like I never like committed to like one style or then another. So I just felt like this amorphous blob wearing very thick jeans.
Right. Yes. Ugh. Yeah, man. God, what a nightmare.
It's a total nightmare.
Let's never go back.
Yeah, I don't ever want to go back. If time travel is invented, that's what we need. Second on the list to destroy those pants.
All right. Yes, please.
Oh, and the other thing that struck me about Idle Hands is it's like a stoner movie, which I had no idea. Like it's like half the jokes are about weed and like all the teens in the movie are just smoking weed in their parents' house. Like it's like it's now, you know, like right, weed is legal in half the states. Brother, in 1999, I was terrified. That there were policemen around every door. And
for real, dude.
I'm not, this kid, Devin Sawa, wakes up in the beginning of the movie. Granted, his parents are dead. Spoilers. He doesn't know that, though. He comes down to the living room, lights four sticks of incense, and then starts smoking a bong. I'm like, God, no, Jesus. That's not how this works.
Yeah.
You're going to end up in prison.
Yes, exactly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's, I still feel that fear, like, as if it was the day I did it.
Yeah.
I can feel it right now.
Yeah, it sucks. That's, you and I are made of the same gene cloth.
Meanwhile, everybody else is around you. They're like doing extra to get the cops to notice you. You know what I mean? Like everything they do is like, over the top. Yeah. Like, why would you act like that when we're getting high right now and we don't want attention?
God.
Jesus. God. Ugh.
So. God.
Cool. I remember, I do remember the Idle Hands soundtrack, Chuck. Zebrahead.
Oh my God. There's the soundtrack in that was pretty intense.
Man.
What was in that? I just want to see real quick.
I was a Zebrahead head.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's like a character who's like older than the teens who's like he drives a lifted truck and he's into metal.
God bless. Waste of Mind. Zebrahead, Waste of Mind. Was that my album of the year in 1998? It could
be. I don't know anything about Zebrahead. I remember their name.
Oh,
I don't even think I could pick out the song if I heard it.
I was.
Mm. Oh, the big thing was Offspring played the school dance at the end of the movie. And the lead singer gets his scalp ripped off by the hand. God. Oh, the other cool thing, the hand, once it gets severed, it's played by a hand from the Addams Family movies. They got like this magician guy who did the hand performances for Thing.
And the Addams Family.
He did the severed hand in Idle Hands. I thought that was cool. There's an interview with him on the disc. Because extensive history about his life as a magician.
That's nice.
Yeah. All right, Dale. What about you? You got anything to say?
This past weekend, YouTube's Brian Rummel came over for a movie night. It's been a while since we had one. And he brought over a couple movies. Like you said in the beginning of the show, it took you an hour to pick a movie. You lock up. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Because we are the same. But I knew. So we had one movie that we wanted to watch, In the Mouth of Madness, because we talked about that before. But after that, I don't know from what we're going to watch, but I know Brian will know. Brian will come up with something. He's good like that. He'll know exactly what he wants to watch. So he brought over a couple movies, and we ended up watching, again, like we did for Crypt Keeper's Coffin. We watched Bordello of Blood later that evening. And then I don't want to talk about that movie, but I want to talk about one of the featurettes on the Blu-ray.
Oh, okay.
That I queued up after. And everybody who made this movie hates the movie. the only person they could reliably get to do the interview was Corey Feldman.
Wow.
So all of a sudden, you know, there's like this weird chip on the shoulder that's coming, you know. So he just it was like a nuke city. He just laid everybody out. Like nobody was happy with the movie. And Corey Feldman was the only one willing to, you know, do this movie without having an attitude. And obviously everybody, like one of the producers or somebody was, or the director was just like carpet bombing Dennis Miller, obviously. Everybody was just tearing the crap out of him. But Corey Feldman was like, Erica Laniak sucked. Dennis Miller sucked. Everybody sucked.
Wow.
Angie Everhart. Like, and then they had Angie Everhart as whenever this the special features for the DVD came out. Angie Everhart was talking about it.
Oh, she's
I love
on
Angie
there?
Everhart. Okay. It's yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was weird, you know. It obviously pales in comparison to its big brother, Demon Knight, but it's a totally different thing.
Oh, but it's very terrible. Surprising. I hate that movie.
I think it's an okay movie, but everybody hates the movie, man. Corey Feldman, you give him a chance to S talk anybody and put a camera in front of him, and he will S talk somebody just as much.
That's the Feldman way. That's how he learned.
The Feldman way.
That's how he learned.
The Feldo way.
To keep the heat. You start talking about the stories you're not supposed to tell.
That's right. That's how he stays in the mind's eye for as long as he has.
Man, God, I want to watch I got to watch this interview.
Yeah. 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 It's like 25 minutes. It's insane.
Yeah. That must be a Shout Factory, right? I mean, that's who did this Idle Hands disc I have. It's like,
oh yeah, man.
They don't leave anything on the floor. They put it all in there.
No, they do not. You're right.
Fucking hand actor talking about his first internship when he's 15 at the Magic Castle. It's like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Here we go.
let's get it on tape. Red Shirt Productions or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Red Shirt Productions. Oh golly. Should we jump into the meat?
Yeah, I mean, we got 10 minutes to kill.
Oh, we do?
We got 10 minutes to kill. This week for the show, we watched APE/Ape 3D for Hot Ape Summer, made in 1976, right?
Yeah.
Made in 1976. Chuck, what is this movie about?
Well, an oil baron wanted to drill for oil somewhere, and they stumbled upon a 36-foot-tall ape gorilla thing. So as you do back then, you stick that sucker in a you smoke it. You give it some gas.
Smoke it like a bee.
Yeah,
like bees.
But yeah, it chills out, passes out. You somehow load it onto a boat, or you build a boat around it. I don't know how they do it. And you set sail for Disneyland because you're gonna make money with this giant anomaly, this giant monster. But it never goes to plan. Ape escapes in the middle of the ocean, heads straight for Korea, and starts just demolishing. He's mad. He's not at home. He's upset. He doesn't know where he is. But he's just going to smash stuff. And there's a famous Hollywood actress who shows up in town to shoot her first movie in Korea is there. Her boyfriend, who's a reporter, Tom Rose, he's there. He's hanging out. He seems super concerned about the big gorilla wreaking havoc. And and we get a lot of shots of the local Korean police chief and the U.S. Military guy that's, you know, set up there. I don't know the proper names for the titles, but, and we're just going to go back and forth while the monster destroys stuff. And, and I guess it's in 3D. Neither of us were able to watch the 3D, so I don't know how much magic that added to the experience. But that's a thing there. But that's basically. I mean, it is almost it's King Kong, baby. Like it's got all the ingredients. You know,
is it a spiritual successor? Because they, the two on the ship were like, man, when we scooped him up off the ground of the Empire State Building, pretty bad shape. Like they like the stuff they were talking about in the beginning is like, this is King Kong, but you're not saying it.
Yeah, and the other thing is that they were, that's crazy. So the Dino De Laurentiis King Kong came out the same year, and I was like,
whoa.
Were they like, because I'm sure the De Laurentiis project had a lot of press, so this small time guy was like, all right, I'm gonna beat him.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna get my big monkey movie in the can first and beat him to the box office.
And the guy who played the director of the movie inside this movie is named Dino. His name was Dino.
Seriously? Oh my God.
Like
that's
his
right.
character name was Dino. So that makes even more sense. Did we just add another star to this movie?
Did the maker of this movie have some sort of vendetta against Dino?
Yeah, maybe. Since childhood.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, God. I mean, it's, you know, there's the first thing that you got to deal with is them telling you outright in the beginning of the movie that the monkey's 36 feet tall. And then,
right.
So you have that scale in your head, Dale, and then they're going to make you watch the scale just not be correct for the rest of the movie. And you're like, oh, well, that building, right. Okay, that boat,
Yes, that's true. That doesn't make sense. I mean, they've really painted themselves into a corner by stating fact.
Yeah, they didn't need to do that. I wouldn't have thought about it. I would have just been like, that's a big monkey.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, who cares for scale? Who cares what, you know? But now it's like, it's 36 feet. Yeah. Let's measure everything we got up against this thing.
I know. I mean... God damn it. I don't think they told the all the guys that were building the little miniature sets, you know, the scale.
Uh-huh.
They're all different. It was nuts.
Other than Joanna Kearns in this movie, Maggie Seaver.
Man, talk about just whipping me out of my head. I was like, oh my God, Mrs. Seaver.
How is anybody who is anybody in this movie?
Yeah.
You know, turns out crazy.
Yeah. And her, the biggest unfortunate thing was like the amount of scenes involving rape or attempted rape in this, even if it was like for the movie within the movie, way too many rape scenes for a giant monkey movie.
Right. You're right.
I gotta say.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Just kill the vibes.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I didn't even think about it. I didn't put that together, but yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, what the hell is happening
both
here?
Both times we see them shooting the movie within the movie, it's two separate rape scenes or attempted rape scenes. It's insane. Like, what is this movie they're making?
Oh my God.
But yeah, Joanna Kearns. Mm. It's wild. She's 70 years
Too
old.
Too wild.
Just looked her up.
Wow. I'm going to be completely honest. I got nothing. This movie had 12 minutes of plot and 1 hour and 25 minutes of just stretch the F out.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's like, there's no plot to this movie. And we try to find the good, but man, this is maybe one of the most brutal watches I've ever watched. I was not in the headspace.
Yeah. I was struggling a little bit, like if you have any little distraction or anything in your mind, this movie's not going to help because it is.
Yeah.
And that's another reason I was like, man, if I had seen this in 3D, like maybe that would save all the long stretches of scenes of the monkey just doing stuff, just walking around. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, maybe if he's shaking stuff at the 3D camera that it looks cool, but good God. Yeah. It's a rough watch. Not going to lie.
You know, I think Grugrox Dave in the Discord ran the Discord drive-in projector this week, and I mean, we had a couple people in there, and I think they tried their best. They hung in there for the camaraderie and the spirit of togetherness for this, and we shout out to those folks for sticking it out, because they that's the only way you get through this is through togetherness.
Yeah, and we were not in togetherness. We were.
Right.
In solitude.
We were alone.
We got into the capsule and shot ourselves into space.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this shark, Dale.
Let's talk about the as many dead sharks in as many months as we could do.
Do you think they were like,
what a shame. This, yeah. We're talking about an 8-footer here.
I know. Again, the scale, the size of that shark.
Yeah.
They were saying, how big that shark was, ridiculous.
Megalodon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is clearly a black-tipped reef shark? Is that what it was? But yeah, it was just within half a second, you realize, oh, that is a real shark. And oh, it's just dead. And this guy in an ape suit's just flopping it around, pretending to fight with it. I hope they just went to the fish market. I hope they didn't sacrifice this guy just for the celluloid. But
yeah,
this is the old days.
How much you want to bet they took that shark? The thing I'm trying to get at is here. How much do you want to bet this man in a monkey suit was standing in fresh water, knee deep in fresh water?
Oh yeah,
and they just flopped this shark into the lake.
Yeah,
saltwater shark into the lake just so it gets something on film.
Oh yeah.
Like this is just a fish. This doesn't belong.
Yeah, I don't think it mattered because it was dead already though.
Yeah, I know. It's just more demeaning. It's just more demeaning. It's you know.
And then at the end when he pulled the jaws apart, I was like, man, we didn't need that.
Yeah, dude. Man, it really took the wind out of my sails. This
it did.
Berating. I mean, and of course, just like everything else in this movie, stretched out to beyond too long.
Yeah.
And this scene was just needed to be over. We get it. And my gosh, I was done. I was done after that.
Yeah.
Now, and after that, that was only 4 minutes into the movie. It felt like it was minute 20. It was minute 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of it is dull as dirt, but I do have some nice things to say that there were some laugh out loud lines in this.
Please, Chuck.
I did love in the very beginning when the two sailors are on the top of the ship that's carrying the monkey or having their little heart to heart and a cigarette. And they see the monkey's hand come out of the hull or whatever. And that guy just says, oh shit.
Oh shit.
Like it's all clearly dubbed after the fact and they're not performing
that.
They're out at sea outside. Like he's just like, oh shit. Like he would have been like, oh shit. You know, he wouldn't be able to hear himself with all that wind and stuff. And then it just cuts to the monkey in the water with like a toy boat ripped in half. Is it clearly wasn't fitting in there? It's like the monkey
I know
became enormous once it got out of that ship.
That monkey, the forearm of the monkey wouldn't fit into the hull of that the ship that was on that water with him. It was crazy. I like how right before he says, oh shit, he's like, the doc says the monkey's supposed to be out for another 5 days.
Yes.
And the monkey
that was awesome.
Immediately.
I thought this was gonna be my least favorite character was the head of the US military in South Korea. But this guy had all the best lines. And he was doing God's work because he was like, most of his scenes were just him in that office talking on the phone or yelling at his assistant. Yeah. And but he had great lines. Like remember when he's talking to the police chief and he gets a cigarette and he's like, yeah, I gave up these years ago, but you know, about this monkey stuff. And someone interrupts him. He's like, I'm going to smoke my goddamn cigarette. And the way he delivered it, he really believed it. And I appreciate
him for
that. but he's got great, he calls the monkey a hairy son of a bitch later, which is fantastic. It's, he's got all the best.
Oh yeah. When they pull up and see him like frolicking and getting shot at in the dirt. Yeah. Get that hairy. And there's another bit about the cigarettes too, where he couldn't, he asked the guy what the brand of cigarettes was, and then he gets interrupted again.
Yeah.
And then after the interruption is over, the guy makes a point to still tell him. He's like, oh, these cigarettes are from China. They're called Good Life or something. Yeah. And it's like, that question was asked 10 minutes ago. And like, it was this weird.
Very weird. Yeah.
Pacing.
And how about the depiction of Korean home life? Whenever they would cut to the police chief's wife and children, they made it seem like housewives in Korea just do puppet shows all day long for their children.
Yeah, I know. Like
every time they cut like, to that, she's got that marionette out. And the kids are just having a ball.
They're praying for bedtime. They're praying for bedtime to come. They've had enough.
And then poor Joanna Kern shows up and starts helping with the puppet show. Puts a cracker in the puppet's mouth. Oh,
yeah. She's like, is this what I do for PR? Is this what I...
How about Familyland, Dale? I wanted a documentary about Familyland. This was the most interesting thing visually in the movie, was this rip-off sort of Disneyland font on this closed theme park that wasn't open, but all the children in the neighborhood just broke in to it.
Yeah, it doesn't open. It doesn't have staff.
Yeah.
It's enter at your own risk, I guess. Familyland, and they even said the words Disneyland earlier in the movie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
But then they go to Familyland.
Yeah, Familyland, and they dangle the carrot of the monkey watching the children play in Familyland, and you're like, all right, some guys sweated it out, recreating Familyland in miniature, and we're gonna get to see nothing.
That's
we don't get to see the monkey
that's
destroy
right.
Familyland. Come on.
That's right. Oh man, that is right. That's right. Like the miniature work. Yeah. Oh my God.
There were some solid miniature work. There were some good shots in here that were like on par.
I appreciated the amount of
I
appreciated the amount of miniature work that did go into this.
Yeah.
Cause you know, the monkey needed something to rip apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that happened. Yeah.
Yeah, and the monkey just like, you know, I mean, they do the fucking thing where he falls in love with the Hollywood actress, and it's like, man, this is king. Yes, we've seen this before. But yeah, I wish the monkey had more of a mission or like any sort of pathos, because he just like, there's that one scene. Remember that hang glider that's flying around the monkey? The monkey just seems sort of like. Like he was like stoned and he was just like playing.
Yeah.
He was just enjoying watching
it. There was no malice in that monkey's eyes.
No.
He was like letting a butterfly land on his hand.
Exactly. Yeah.
That hang glider with the human in miniature form was the most adorable thing I've ever seen.
That was great. Whenever they would cut to the miniature humans, they're like, or when he was like holding Joanna Kearns and they cut to the shitty doll they made. Oh.
Yeah. What about the when they show an actual cow in the pasture?
Oh,
and then they show, the miniature cow's tail is whipping around.
I take it back. That's the best shot in the movie.
That could be the best shot in the movie. Yeah.
The middle finger has nothing on this miniature cow. It's like, God,
the cow is that's some miniature work.
Adam Hart mother started playing during that scene too. It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, God, man, I need a gif of that. Him jumping over that cow. God, that was so good.
Oh, man. I would make that my profile pic.
I love that it's just one cow in a field, too. It's like some farmer just has one milk cow.
Right, the one that won't go back.
In a giant field.
Yeah, right. Yeah, God, at least it was alive. Right, Chuck?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But at the end of the day, this world, he was just too big for this world, Dale. And, you know, another monkey goes down.
I know. In a 25-minute grand finale.
I couldn't take it. But by the last 15 minutes, I couldn't keep my hand off the remote. I started fast forwarding through the,
Did you?
All the monkey parts.
I don't blame you whatsoever.
Yeah. I was like,
I will say that the very repetitive soundtrack was doing it for me. And at least there was that.
Yeah. I'm kind of indifferent. I don't remember the sound. I vaguely remember it actually. Cause it sounded like a slight kind of Jaws riff, but
yeah, with a little more band behind it.
But it wasn't offensive or anything. It wasn't like, oh, I'm so sick of this. That's a good point. APE in 3D.
I appreciate the effort of the couple inserted 3D shots, including the one where he couldn't just park his Jeep in the middle, in anywhere else, but without getting impaled by a tree branch.
Oh yeah, that real. What was that shot? What was that?
Yeah, what was it? What was the, other than inept parking that could have?
Yeah,
the maimed somebody. That was a real windshield. That was a crack.
The only thing I could think of was that they were trying to make it look like the log or the tree branch flew at the Jeep, but it didn't look like that. It looked like he just drove through it and parked like glass doesn't exist. That's what it looked like to me. A lot of Jeeps in this movie. And
a lot of Jeeps.
A lot of the intrepid reporter Tom Rose asking to borrow Jeeps and always getting his way. And this MF-er would never drive this Jeep off the road. Like he's out in the countryside chasing the monkey. He always politely just stops on the road. He won't take that into the dirt. No. Maybe because he didn't ask permission to take it off road. That's why he never does it. But I just once I wanted him to like chase after the monkey with that Jeep, you know, to rescue Joanna Kearns. So, but nothing. Just parks and then runs.
Just do what the Jeep was born to do. Yeah. Please.
Yeah. Why have the Jeep there?
Yeah. Sickening. What do you think? I mean, we tried. We tried to not do this movie justice, but do the podcast justice by talking about it long enough.
Oh, I think we got. Yeah, no. I think we did okay. We got all the juice there is.
The best part about this movie is the podcast art by our friend Jeremy Brooks, aka Sketch Brooks, on all the social medias.
Oh yeah.
Amazing person, amazing artist. You've seen me retweet him. It's the only reason I go on Twitter is to retweet this guy now, but join his Instagram, follow his Twitter, and follow his Threads. He's on Threads now. But the guy, I just love this guy to death, and it's a pleasure to see him every year when I go to Heroes Con. And he was there this year, but I wasn't. But I love the guy, and he was gracious enough to do podcast art for us. So thank you, Sketch Brooks.
I met Mr. Sketch Brooks this year at Heroes Con, and I've been replaying it in my head ever since. Because I'm mortified. I think poor Jeremy thinks I'm some sort of cigarette fiend now. Because he approached me after hours out front of the hotel. And Dale, you know how Heroes Con weekend is my yearly pack of cigarettes. I'm not a smoker anymore, but that weekend is the one weekend where you can find me making clouds.
Right? Outside.
Yeah.
Outside the hotel.
Not inside. Outside. And he comes up to me and I'm like, I didn't even have a drink or anything. I was just feeling good, I think, after hours, first night. And I had this pack of cigarettes in my hand because I think someone else wanted a cigarette. Sketchbrook comes up to me, he's like, hey man. And just like being nice, like it's 1965, I whip the pack of cigarettes in his face. They're like, hey, you want one? And the look on his face was like, was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because he was mortified. But then he was very nice and he was like, hey, I'm this guy.
Yeah.
I really love your podcast. And I was like, oh, thanks. Now I feel stupid.
Oh, that's nice. So he hadn't introduced himself at the show beforehand. This was the first time he had introduced himself and you were just giving out cigarettes.
Yeah, I was out there.
Candy. Well, that's what everybody's out there for.
Yeah.
Like in the smoker's clutch.
It actually wasn't hot that weekend, surprisingly.
Great. Probably the last not hot weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Dale, are you ready? Do you have your glove on?
I got it on.
All right. Let's see if...
I've put it on, like a dummy, like I've never done the show before. I put it on at the beginning of the podcast. I put it on the beginning of recording.
Wow.
So
reach...
It's like sweaty in there now. Oh.
My history teacher in, I forget what grade, maybe ninth grade, he would always bring in artifacts from around the world. And one of his favorite things to bring in was this little change pouch from Australia. And
boy.
Do you know what this change pouch was made out of, Dale?
Yeah, I do. I already know. already know.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to say kangaroo scrot.
Yes. Yeah. Is this a common thing? Do all history teachers have this?
Probably. Yeah, they probably do.
This is getting a kick of passing it around the class. Yeah. And then, you know, it's halfway through and he's like, yeah, it's a kangaroo scrotum.
And yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, great. Thanks.
They're like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm opening up the mailbag. 315-544-0966. That's the official Bat and Spider hotline. batandspiderpod@gmail.com. That's where you can send us your emails and whatnot.
Do it.
Got a couple things. We got a couple things this week.
Okay.
We got a first... Got an email from Hobo Salary. Hobo. What's up, buddy? Hobo Salary goes on to say, on the most recent episode, there was a lot of Toad the Wet Sprocket talk. Now, I never knew any other songs until Chuck started serenading the listeners. I recalled those songs, but didn't attribute it to them. What I most closely associate the band with is a refrigerator. Once when I was a teen, I remember dicking around under an overpass behind the local St. Vincent de Paul. There's a large gravel lot by the train tracks, the spot where one might dump a body. What I found instead was an old fridge, mid-80s, flipped onto its side with a bunch of college rock stickers, Dave Matthews Band, Hootie and the Blowfish, etc., and one Toad the Wet Sprocket. I have trouble remembering my own kid's birthday at times, but this event is still fresh in my mind. Included in this email is an artist rendering of the crime scene.
Oh my God.
Yes. Oh my gosh. This is a complete artist rendering. Beautiful job here. I can picture it in Hobo's mind. I can see exactly what Hobo sees now, thanks to the aid of a very well sketch artist. Yes. Isn't it perfect?
It's an amazing drawing. Oh my God.
Can we buy this? Can we buy this from you, Hobo?
This is
amazing.
Yeah, we need to make this a sticker. Hobo, do we write back in if we have permission to put this on a sticker?
Oh my God, yeah.
We got to make stickers and this is perfect. This is a great deep cut thing that no one, only the real heads will get. And if we put this on a sticker, it's going to be
so good. Yeah. It's amazing. It's literally just an art, you know, a sketch artist rendition of the fridge, exactly as Hobo described it.
I love it.
When this episode is released, somebody in the Discord remind me to post it, and I will. That way, everybody will be able to get the reference.
Yes,
I can't just throw it in there now because nobody will even know what we're talking about. Hobo Salary, this was an absolute treat. Thank you.
Thank you, Hobo.
Next up,
you thought I forgot.
Look in my eyes.
What do you see?
Here we go. I say here we go like you know what's coming next. It's voice. I'm opening the voice.
Here we go.
You damn dirty apes. Hot ape summer, baby.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Look at that drive-by.
Do we know who that is?
Well wishing. Look at that drive. I have no idea who this is.
I liked it.
Wow. That was... a hot ape summer well wisher.
Yeah.
Let's call that.
What do we call that? Seasons, the spirit of the season. It's infectious.
Yeah, it is. It is. We got another one too. Potentially from the same.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa.
Man.
That was like a Tubi spook. It was a ghost.
It was. Wow. We get all kinds here on Bat and Spider, you know?
The fun never ends. when we open up this.
I'm telling you, it's the guerrilla marketing. Tubi guerrilla. Chuck, did you just do the math like I did? Tubi guerrilla marketing.
Yeah.
Hot Ape Summer.
I know, it's all
guerrilla.
Toad the wet sprocket.
There's probably some sort of monkey or ape sticker on the side of that refrigerator too.
Gorilla biscuits. The only monkey band I could think of.
Folks, that was that segment for this week because that's all there was. But don't forget to get your letters and voicemails before Hot Ape Summer is over. We're halfway through.
I know. It's going to be over before you know it, and you're going to be kicking yourself in your dumb ape face that you didn't call in.
You're going to be full of regrets.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
This is where we normally pick the next movie, but they're all picked. But because I have the memory of a goldfish, I have no idea what movie we're watching next, Dale. So why don't you enlighten me?
Well, next week on Hot Ape Summer, we are now strap in, and folks, paying attention in the Discord drive-in might want to pay attention to Grugrux Rave is going to be running a two-parter, two nights, because Chuck.
Wow. Oh, I'm that's say, right.
We have a four-episode miniseries we have to watch for next week.
Oh, I forgot.
From 1991 called Chimera. It was released on the BBC as a four-part miniseries, and that four-parter is on YouTube. So you make time. I'm just going to say that. Make time. But
alternative title, Monkey Boy. 200 minutes we got to watch, Dale. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God.
What have we
done? This better be good.
This better.
Chimera, British TV series. Chimera is a British science fiction horror drama based on the 1982 novel of the same name about genetic engineering. The story focuses upon Chad, a young half-boy, half-chimp, developed by scientists as part of a top-secret government operation. However, Chad becomes aggressive, strong, and uncontrollable with the inability to communicate on a human level.
Wow.
I mean, if you want to be struck with your eyeballs, you look up Chad from Chimera, and you will not sit easy with yourself after seeing.
Dale, I just learned something interesting about this movie. I clicked on the writer of this movie, of this series, Stephen Gallagher. And as you were reading that description, I was like, oh, he wrote a movie called Monkey Boy. It looks like it has the same Monkey Boy on the cut. So I think they cut this down into a feature-length movie in the next year.
They did.
Yeah.
And they released that in the United States as Monkey Boy.
Oh, okay. So we're going to watch the real deal.
Yeah, we're not half-A in this.
No. God, we're going to have Monkey Boy nightmares, I think.
I think it's a guarantee. It's a guarantee.
I mean, I'm excited. I mean, God, crossing the genes of man and ape, that's something I can't, that's catnip for me.
Yeah.
I gotta know.
I'm sorry.
We
had to do it for Hot Ape Summer.
I gotta know.
I had to do it. So stick around for next week and join our Discord so you can watch along. Grugrux Dave running a two-nighter, Tuesday night and Friday night, to try to conquer Chimera.
Amazing.
All 200 minutes of him.
Chimera.
They probably call it like Project Chimera, you know?
Project Chimera. Bring me the Monkey Boy.
There's a Monkey Boy, Gov. In Project Chimera.
Yeah, there's probably like two Cockney lads who are they found the boy and the monkey.
Yeah, they're tasked with like wrangling him.
Yeah, they kidnapped a boy and then they stole a monkey from the zoo.
And when they're not doing that, they like walk through a field with their with the shotgun like half like it's not cocked, it's like folded over their arm.
Oh, I love that move.
And they're walking through the fields.
Talking
about do we even need to watch this movie?
I don't know. I don't think so. They probably have a plowman's lunch in a sack over their shoulder. Cheese and pickle.
God, they can probably see their breath. So damp.
They're out there early. It's early.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They sit on like an old timey stone wall. to eat their lunch.
God, yes.
That peppers the landscape.
Probably Roman built stone wall.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's get out of here. We love you. Hot Ape Summer loves you too.
Yeah.
Bye.
Perfect. Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck podcast.
I do you want it?